Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Haggai? We're continuing in our studies in this little book of the Bible, and I want to focus on verse 7 tonight and 8, because these are two verses that bring out a very important truth that I want to emphasize tonight. I mentioned it back a few weeks ago, but I'm going to focus on it tonight. Then we're going to go to prayer together. We'll probably finish up a little earlier tonight. But I wanted to share three thoughts regarding how we bring glory to God. I think it's important for us to understand from this passage of Scripture that God was telling the Israelites that what they were doing was not bringing glory to His name, and then showed them how they could bring glory to His name. Do you realize that God's not interested in what you think brings glory to His name? Obviously, the Israelites thought what they were doing was bringing glory to His name, but were they right? No, they were wrong. Notice this, please. Verse 7, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it," and then those next following important words, "and I will be," what? Everyone say it, please. "Glorified." You mean going to a mountain and bringing wood and building the house, God would take pleasure in and would bring glory to His name? Yes, that's exactly right. God prescribed to Israel what He was looking for that would bring glory to His name. And basically, all He was doing was repeating what He had already said. What did He tell the Israelites? Why did He bring them back from Babylon? To build His house. They had restored the wall. Now it was time to rebuild the temple, and they weren't doing it. They were not doing it. So all God did was repeat Himself to show them, first of all, how far they had gotten off, but secondly, what brings glory to His name. And we're going to look at three things that we can learn about how to bring glory to God. And on all three, it's God who prescribes what brings glory to His name. I am so ill by what I hear today, people saying, we're just doing this to bring glory to God, and they're doing something that's totally foreign to the Bible. They're doing actions, they're doing this, they're doing that, and it's in complete denial of Scripture. I heard an argument being made recently on a YouTube video as a pastor was telling his people that drinking alcohol and drinking wine was a way in which we bring glory to God. And I said, what are we using? Well, the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That was his premise. So I can go out and do what God said I'm not supposed to be even looking at? Okay. Look not to the wine when it is red. That's pretty clear. All right? I'm a pretty simple individual. But the Bible gives all of the horrible things that happen to people that drink in that passage in the book of Psalms and says, look not to the wine. And yet here's this man standing up before his people and proclaiming it out over the airwaves. Well, you can bring glory to God in your drinking. Yeah, how about whenever they beat their wives? How about when they come home drunk? Or how about those that are secret drinkers that drink all day long and they know how to function while they are completely sozzled? This is a major problem in industry, business, commerce. I have read more articles in recent times coming from the New York Times, coming from magazines and so forth about the number of people who come to work drunk. Or during the Zoom meetings over the last year and a half have been in their Zoom meetings totally and completely drunk and yet able to function on a computer. Now don't tell me that God is glorified by that. The Bible has much to say about drunkenness and it's never in a positive way. Amen? But we've got this mindset, I tell God what glorifies His name. Really? We tell God? I thought God told us. And that's exactly what he does here. He says to his people, go to the mountain, cut down the wood, build my house, I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. I want to look at three things very quickly that the Bible says brings glory to God. Number one, we glorify God by exercising faith in His revealed Word. That's the first one. I want to take you to two quick passages. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because I want to show you from two passages how this is repeated in the New Testament so we don't get lost. I want us to look at, I think verses 18 through 20 will be sufficient for us to see. Verse 18, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in Him, that is Christ, was yea. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Bringing glory to God through our what? Listening to the preaching of the Word of God, which Paul said was yea in whom? Christ. It wasn't yea and nay. It was yea and amen. And so when we receive that Word from God, the revealed Word of God, by faith, we glorify God. Look at Romans chapter 4. Another passage comes to mind here, Romans chapter 4. And I want us to look at verse 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 20. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was what? Counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now move down to verse 20. Speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And what's the next line there? Giving glory to God. Wow. When I'm strong in faith in the revealed Word of God, glory goes to God. So the first principle, and this is brought out in Haggai chapter 1, the first principle is exercising faith in the Word brings glory to God. Let's go to the second principle, and this is found in Psalm 86. So if you turn there very quickly, Psalm 86. This is just a short message tonight, but I hope it'll be of help to us all as we think about what brings glory to God. So many people are throwing out their opinions about what brings glory to God. You don't need an opinion. All you have to do is study the Bible. Look at Psalm 86. Beautiful, beautiful prayer of David. And I want us to look at this one principle here that's brought out. We glorify God by our worship prescribed by God's Word. Let me say it again. We glorify God by our worship, ascribing worth to Him, prescribed by Him. In other words, I just don't do stuff and call it worship. That's not how it works. I find out what God says, and He tells me here in Psalm 86. Notice, we're going to read all 17 verses. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. among the gods, small g, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Then notice what he says next. Teach me thy way. Now get the connection. All nations of the earth shall worship his holy name. And then he moves immediately. Teach me thy way. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. You know what a lot of folks don't understand is what they're calling worship is absent of the fear of God. It's absent. I heard just this week of a contemporary music lady who was married to a Major League Baseball player, had an affair with the pastor of her church, all right, lied about it multiple times until the husband found a secret phone and saw all the text messages and so forth like that. He went directly to the pastor and confronted him about it. The pastor lied about it. And then he pulled out the phone and showed him all the texts and so forth. And his words were, "I'm really sorry." All right? In the text messages, the false narrative of what we're doing is really worshiping God. Their immoral affair, they were couching it in terms of worship to God. And she was being inspired by this to write a new song to put out there. Now I want to tell you something. That's from the pits of hell. That's from the pits of hell. What she's calling worship and what he was calling worship was anything but worship. It was ascribing worth to themselves, not to God. Teach me thy way, Lord. Not me say what I call worship is worship, and I'll push that out there and have everybody say, okay, that's good, that's acceptable. No, teach me thy way. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. Did you get that phrase? What does he say about his enemies? What's their characteristic? They have not set thee before them. They don't fear him. They don't obey him. They don't exalt him. They don't worship him, though they may call what they do worship. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has helped me and comforted me. Now you talk about a passage that's crying out to God and an individual esteeming his God as the only one who can help him against the enemies that have raised themselves up again. That is a beautiful illustration. And where did he learn that? Verse 11, teach me thy way, Lord. So, we glorify God by our worship prescribed by God's word. And then finally, we glorify God in shining the light of Christ before all. And a very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 5, but a very rich passage. Would you turn there very quickly? Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord is speaking to the folks that are there. And in verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now what is he saying here? Let your light so shine before men. Now who lit our light? All right. They were showing a new photo shoot of Columbia Pictures. Remember the artist's conception of this woman that's holding up a light, and she's standing there, Columbia Pictures logo and so forth like that. Well, they did a reenactment of that recently, and it showed this woman holding an electric lamp with the cord hanging down, which they were going to digitally remove from that. She's holding this lamp, and her light bulb is lit, and it digitally put in the light on that. And she's holding that same light that they did in the previous picture way back in 1924. And she's holding that up there. And the light, in this instance, would be digitally added to the picture, whereas back in 1924, they had to make it do what they could. Actually had to paint it in to their logo because the light wouldn't shine like they wanted it to. But my point is this. Christ is the light of the Christian. And when we reflect His light to the world, we give them cause to glorify the Father. Christian, how's your light shining? How's your light shining? What had happened in Israel during the time of Haggai? They had basically put their light under a bushel. They were busy as bees getting their houses in order, sealing their houses, getting their houses all finished, and the last thing on their mind was the house of God. And that's why God allowed them to come back, was to rebuild His temple. And so He reminds them, who are you? You are My people. And do you remember what Simeon said whenever he saw the Christ child? He shall be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And by the way, you don't have a light other than Jesus Christ's light. Because our light is darkness apart from Him. Amen? Our light is darkness. And the Bible even goes to say, and how great is that darkness? But when we have Jesus Christ, we have the light of the world. And our job is to keep the bushel off. We're to let that light shine over the city. Put it up on a hill so that everybody can see it. And when we do that, glory is brought to the Father. These three things, I think, are brought out in our passage here and also brought out throughout the Bible, that we need to understand what God prescribes as bringing glory to Him and not what we think it should be. Because I found out a long time ago that what we think doesn't oftentimes line up with the Bible. Anybody that would say that an immoral relationship is somehow worshiping God is somebody that doesn't know very much about the Bible. And they don't know much about God. It's a made-up nonsense that's full of iniquity and lawlessness. And it's sickening. We're calling that worship. It's done by every religion in the world. I'll share this last story as we get ready to go to our prayer time. When I was in Haiti, back in 2010, right after the earthquake, I walked down from the campus of the church, walked down the road. It was late at night. I made my way over. And when I got down to the hut where I was staying, there was a van out there loaded with girls. And I said, that's rather odd. So I went on back to the park. Next day I went up and I went to Brother Lucian, saw him. I said, Brother Lucian, I said, when I went to the apartment last night, there was a van sitting outside the apartment loaded with girls. And he said, oh, Pastor Todd, they're going up to the Roman Catholic monastery up on the mountain. All those girls are harlots. They're going up. And he told me this. He said, they call that worship to God. It was stunning. Every night I was there, the van was sitting out there because the road that went by my apartment went up the mountainside all the way up to the monastery. That is worship to God. It's nothing but the nonsense of hell. Be careful what you assign as glory to God. We're so apt to make it fleshly. We're so apt to put our personal spin on it and call it glory to God, when in fact it may not be good works. It may not be what God prescribes. It may be just working on my own house when I should be working on His house. May God help us to see this and understand it. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the book of Haggai. Two chapters in all of the Bible that are full of wonderful lessons. And the greatest is this, that people can get right. People can hear and obey as the Israelites did. I pray that you'd help us to understand that you prescribe what brings glory to your name, not ourselves. And I pray that we might search the Scriptures to see what brings glory to your name and then get busy in bringing that glory to the most wonderful God, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.